Small business owners are always passionate about their work, and they have a lot on the line. Let Verizon help champion your small business dream. Whether you own a small business or scaling one or starting one from scratch, you need to get ready for Verizon Small Business Days. From April 22nd through April 28th, you can partner with Verizon Business Experts for small business support. During Verizon Small Business Days, you can receive a free tech check with a one-on-one meeting with a Verizon Business Expert. Plus, Verizon Business Experts will provide you with personalized advice and solutions that are tailored to your specific small business needs. Take advantage of special offers and deals during Verizon Small Business Days and get more for your business. Verizon has your back because they know small businesses can make a big difference. Don't miss out. Book an appointment today. Just call 1-800-483-4428 or go to verizon.com/smallbusiness.
Electricity, a big idea that's inspired countless new ones. From powering the light bulb to virtually powering our entire lives. 30 years ago, State Street launched the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY. A big idea that inspired the world to invest differently. And still does. What can you do with SPY?
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit SSGA.com for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully before investing. SPY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
My mission is simple, to make you money. I'm here to level the playing field for all investors. There's always a bull market somewhere, and I promise to help you find it. Mad Money starts now.
Hey, I'm Cramer. Welcome to Mad Money. Welcome to Cramerica. I'll be one of my friends just trying to make a little money. My job is not just to entertain you, but to educate and teach you, so call me 1-800-743-CNBC or tweet me at Jim Cramer. Is this the calm before the calm? After still one more record-breaking month in the books, I keep thinking this market will win some converts, turning bears into bulls. That's not happening, though. With the Dow gaining 238 points today, S&P advancing 0.27%, but the NASDAQ declining 0.48%. We had to endure all that sell in May and go away nonsense last week as if nothing good has happened. Now we have tech rolling over, and I'm sure tomorrow there'll be chatter about how the market can't roar without FANG, my acronym for Facebook, Amazon, Apple, Netflix, and Google. Yes, once again, the obituaries will be written. How many times? We're going to be subjected to the usual bubble talk, hardware, software, electronic vehicles, of course, SPACs. You'll hear that none of these great earnings matter because we're at the peak. But that's the wrong way to look at things. In truth, this is once again a gigantic rotational market where there's not enough money to send all sectors up at once. Tech's had a huge run lately, while everything else is languished except for fintech. Now it's tech's turn to cool, while other groups play catch up. Do you know that that's been the pattern since the bottom last year? But the panda bears who control the narrative just won't acknowledge it. It's always rollover, 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 never talking about the next group to run. We're going to change that tonight. But before I get into today's action, I need to address Warren Buffett's concerns about individual stock picking, a theme I will examine again near the end of the show, because I know it's so important to you, especially the younger members of the audience. Here's the thing. Stock picking did go out of style 20 years ago. This generation of investors has been taught that it's impossible to beat the market, so don't even try. Don't try to figure out which retailers are doing the best. Just go pick an index fund. The previous generation was taught a far different set of skills. How to pick stocks by combining curiosity with what you know and melding it with the study of the financials or whatever other information you come across. That's not the Warren Buffett method. It's the Peter Lynch method, named after the legendary manager of Fidelity's Magellan Fund. Lynch credited most of his success to something you can do, I can do, anyone can do, observing, studying, and taking action. He shows you how to do it in his seminal text, One Up on Wall Street. And it's still a living, breathing book. It's on Amazon, and it's not been destroyed or pulped. And the Lynch method has never been easier because you have more research tools at your disposal than ever. It's not like Google existed when the book came out in 1989. I respect Warren Buffett, but I'm always going to be a Peter Lynch guy. Even though he made his money running a mutual fund, he still felt compelled to teach people how to do it themselves. He's really teaching them how to compete against him. But thanks to the dot-com bust and the financial crisis, the Peter Lynch method lost a lot of its luster. Plus, it didn't help that the whole industry proselytized against owning individual stocks, with Warren Buffett leading the way. In the 90s, the conventional wisdom said that picking stocks was a great way to make money. These days, picking stocks is considered a mug's game. Anyone with half a brain knows you're supposed to put all your money in a nice, low-cost index fund. But you know where the truth is? The truth lies somewhere in between. If you don't want to put that much time and effort into managing your portfolio, parking your money in an index fund is absolutely the right way to go. But the index fund pushers got too far. Too far when they tell you that stock picking is a waste of time and money. Yeah, that's condescension. I think you can get better performance by picking individual stocks. The problem is you got to do more work. That's why I believe in a hybrid model. I don't share Buffett's contempt for home gamers who try to pick stocks, nor do I want you to go all in on individual stocks. That's why I've always suggested you put your retirement money in an index fund, but your discretionary mad money, hence the name of the show, in individual stocks. I don't want to discourage you from harnessing your powers of observation, and much of what I do is oriented around bringing stories to your attention so that you can do more homework yourselves. No contempt here, just support, which brings me to today's market. For months, I've been preaching that the economy is about to open up, and we're going to reach a tipping point where you have to own stocks that do well when the consumer's flush. Well, we're finally there, maybe because cities like New York look like they're going to turn, or malls are beckoning. That means two things. One, we need to own stocks that benefit from consumer confidence. And two, we need the cash to buy these stocks. So what are people doing? Well, they're raising cash. They're selling anything that doesn't fit the reopening thesis, like tech, which is being used, I think, incorrectly because the money's going to come back to tech. But it's being used as a piggy bank to finance other investments. And I accept that. Now, I wish there were more than enough money to go around to justify owning both groups, but there simply isn't. And the current rotation is fueled by that lack of capital. Only so many sectors can win at the same time. Sure, stock ownership is at its highest level, but that doesn't provide the new ammunition needed to finance more buying. For those of you who think that you've already missed this move because they've had tremendous runs, I'm aware of that. I want you to think again. We haven't even begun to convert the bears to this new bull thesis. So let me give you some ideas to chew on, observe, and make a choice about buying. Maybe you'll try some of this stuff on or go to these places. Then go to Google, look for some stuff. Go to our sites. You'll find things. First is Walmart. Now, this is the largest brick-and-mortar retailer in America. If we open and go out, wow, we're going to go to Walmart. It's still down 11 points from its high, perhaps because of so many stories about Walmart Plus being weaker. Really, ever since Mark Lurie retired in January. He's that guy from Jet.com, which Walmart acquired to reinvent its online business. Man's a genius. But I don't think he's essential. In truth, Walmart's doing great and about to do a whole lot better. Mine was packed this weekend. Second is Costco. Now, think about this. They're bringing back free samples, and food courts don't denigrate this one. Makes the comparisons versus last year just spectacular. Costco continues to open new stores, take more fees, save people money. What is not to like? I love it. Third is Lowe's. Now, unlike Target and Home Depot, which are amazing in themselves, Lowe's is still almost 10 points away from its high. Go to Lowe's like I did this weekend. See the action. Do you know that mine opened at 6 a.m. Sunday and closed at 10? You don't keep those hours unless you got a ton of business. You know what you see in the aisles of Lowe's? Well, how about appliances? How about tools? If you did a little digging, you'd know that there's a shortage of appliances. Go ask the home builders. Read the Whirlpool conference call. You'd know that tools are exploding when Stanley Black & Decker generated 48% growth, which is pretty darn shocking. We heard about it last week on the show. The stock was down that day. Talk about an opportunity. Fourth, we're opening up and we're dressing up. There aren't a lot of quality clothing stocks left, but the good ones are PVH, VF Corp, and my favorite, which is Ralph Lauren. I expect big sales this month. Oh, I still like RH, the operator formerly known as Restoration Hardware. I wish my wife would order fewer from there because, boy, how many chairs do you need around the fire pit? But it's an incredible run the stock has had. The stock doesn't have enough buy ratings on it. Finally, I believe in the lag trade, and that's L Brands, American Eagle Outfitters, and The Gap. Even as they've all had big runs, Matt Boss, the fabulous retail analyst from J.P. Morgan, coined the lag trade much lower. But it's only just dawning on people now, and the rest of the analyst community is going to have to follow suit. They have to upgrade. They have no choice. The bottom line, I don't mean to make it sound simple. If you want to invest like Peter Lynch, you need to actually visit these places or try things on, whatever sparks your curiosity, of course, after reading his book. But I think one or two of these reopening places go well with an index fund in your retirement account. And I'm not afraid to say it, even when highly respected figures like Warren Buffett act like stock picking is too dangerous for regular people like you. More on that later. Lucas in Vermont. Lucas.
Jim, so good to hear from you.
Same.
I would love to talk about Square.
Okay.
They're up 300% this past year. Earnings is on Thursday. I'm excited about reopening. I'm excited about Jack Dorsey and Cash App and their crypto exposure. Do you think we can expect $350 to $400 share price?
Okay,
by
Lucas,
end of
I'm going to throw a little cold water on this. I think Square's going to give you an amazing number. But if we are still in this rotation out of fintech, it won't matter, and you're going to have to wait. So I'd buy half before and half after. I am a total believer in Square, and I think it's going to have good numbers. Yoni in New York. Yoni.
Booyah, Jim. Love you. Love the show.
You're very kind. Thank you.
Exciting stuff with the Eagles draft. Good stuff.
Okay, it's good. We have a stud receiver. I'm happy. I love Howie Roseman. I'm not too proud.
Yeah, it's good. I got to give a quick shout out to the boys in my stock market WhatsApp group.
Okay.
Dreams and Nightmares.
Okay.
So my company's one of the high flying software stocks that got absolutely destroyed. It's down like 50%, around like 2-year lows. But it seems kind of attractive. I'm wondering what you think. They recently switched over to a cloud-based model, so that hurt them a bit short-term. What do you think about Splunk?
I was going to tell you, because of the switch over to the cloud-based model, they've lost a key person. It does sound to me like you have to wait till after this quarter. I really mean it, Yoni. I don't want you in until after the quarter. I need to go to Zach in Pennsylvania. Zach.
Hey, Jim, big booyah from Eagles Nation. What did you think of the draft last week?
I was thrilled. Boy, there's a lot of Eagles fans. Isn't that great? I'm on the bus. What's up?
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for everything that you do. So
thank
I'm
you.
In my early 30s, and I'm looking to hold these stocks, so maybe I'm 40, 45, somewhere in that range. With everything going cashless, this stock was at 200 in January. Now it's around 234. I'm wondering if it's too late to get on the Visa bus for the next 12 years.
No, and Al Kelly ought to come on the show. He ought to do himself a favor and come on the show, because he knows I believe in him and I believe in Visa. I think it's a very, very good company. And you're absolutely right. Everything you laid out is perfect. And I want you to be in it and own it. Don't trade it. All right. Look, the market hasn't made any real converts yet. I know it seems like it, but they're going to dump on it again tomorrow because of tech. These are the stocks that are next in the rotation. And you believe it or not, you haven't missed the move. Go with one or two reopening plays and an index fund, and that will make me happy. We'll make money tonight. In December, Cramer Faith XPO Logistics announced its spin-off plans, creating the second largest contract logistics provider in the world. I'll find out if it's worth considering GXO Logistics when I sit down with its incoming CEO first on CBC. Then, as more people across the U.S. become vaccinated, could the great outdoors trend we saw last summer be a thing of the past? Uh-oh. I'm going to give you my take, and it's really going to surprise you. And an under-the-radar way to play the race to space. So stay with Cramer.
Don't miss a second of Mad Money. Follow at Jim Cramer on Twitter. Have a question? Tweet Cramer. Hashtag Mad Tweets. Send Jim an email to madmoney@cnbc.com or give us a call at 1-800-743-CNBC. Miss something? Head to madmoney.cnbc.com.
When you're hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging to connect with candidates faster. Plus, 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Mad Money. Just go to Indeed.com/Mad Money right now and support this show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Mad Money. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When a CEO feels like the market's not giving their company enough credit, sometimes they got to take action. They have to unlock that value themselves. And that's what we're seeing right now at XPO Logistics, the roll-up transportation play created by Brad Jacobs a decade ago. Recent years, the stock had lost its mojo, despite the nonstop boom in e-commerce. It certainly wasn't Brad's fault. They were doing great. So early last December, XPO decided to spin off its faster-growing logistics business as an independent company to make this story simpler and easier for Wall Street to digest. Look, I thought it was a very smart move, and sure enough, XPO's rallied roughly 56% since then. But as we get closer to the actual breakup, we got to learn more about the business that's being spun off. It's going to be called GXO Logistics. After the close, the combined company reported excellent top and bottom line beat, and much of that strength was driven by the soon-to-be separate logistics unit that you can own. I think it's been very enticing. So let's take a closer look with Malcolm Wilson. He's the CEO of XPO Logistics Europe, who's been named as the new CEO of GXO Logistics spinoff. Get a better sense of the situation. Mr. Wilson, welcome to Mad Money.
Thanks for having me on the show, Jim.
Okay, so Malcolm, we need you to explain, because we've been huge supporters of Brad from when the stock was at the 20s. But now we've got a business that we liked, and maybe it's even bigger than we think. What parts of XPO Logistics business are becoming GXO?
So XPO, it's going to spin off its logistics business as GXO. It's going to create two world-class powerhouse companies. Transportation in XPO, LTL, and truck brokerage, and the logistics, that's the warehousing, that's going to become GXO.
Now, why is it better to be separate? I mean, I would have thought that the two work together really well.
Jim, it's going to allow the management of the logistics portion of the company, GXO, they're going to be able to really laser focus on the customers. It's going to allow them to make the decisions in terms of capital application, CapEx for growth, acquisition. Everything's going to be tailored towards the logistics sector of the business. It's really going to be a very dynamic organization towards customers.
You know, Malcolm, I know logistics. I mean, we've had Zebra on. Honeywell's got a logistics, the intelligence. Who do you really compete against? Those companies, or do you compete against the companies that are just giant warehouse companies?
Jim, GXO, it's going to be the second largest logistics company in the world. The reality is there is no strong direct competitor that competes across all of the different markets that GXO is working in. Of course, there's going to be some local competitors in country by country, maybe even some competitors that specialize in a particular vertical, maybe chemicals or agribusiness. But in terms of the breadth of GXO, there's going to be very few companies that you can compare this organization to. It's really a world-beating environment.
Oh, but let's talk about e-commerce, retail, food and beverage, consumer technology. I see Apple, H&M. I see Zara. I mean, Nestle's. These are all the biggest, Coca-Cola. These are all your customers?
Absolutely, Jim. You know, GXO ranks 30% of the Fortune 100 companies as its customers. And the great thing about GXO is that the customers that we work with, they stay for a long time. Of the top 20 customers, 15 years is the average tenure of those customers. So these are really sticky, long-term relationships. Once we're working with customers, they very, very seldom decide to work away from GXO.
All right, can you give us a sense, because you're the head of XPO Europe, and XPO just had some great numbers. How bad is Europe because of COVID?
Europe's recovering. You know, if I think about UK, it's broadly at a similar pace of recovery and vaccine rollout to the US. So it's quite advanced. And if I think about the rest of Europe, generally, things are expected to get back to normal by early June. So pretty much we're expecting all of the markets that XPO and GXO, for that matter, are working in to be back to full recovery, really by around the early part of June.
Okay, so tell us what the secret sauce is. What do you offer that we've had all the warehouse companies on, the real estate investment trust, we've had the companies that do robots, but not really at the level you do. What kind of expertise do you have that the other guys don't have that they keep picking you as their representative for logistics?
You know, Jim, GXO, it's benefiting right now from three mega trends that's happening in the logistics world. One is about outsourcing. So more and more big organizations are looking to companies like GXO to help them with the expertise that exists in GXO, expertise in automation or expertise in managing big volumes. There's also another mega trend, which is e-commerce. Mm-hmm. We've all been affected by that. More and more people are buying online, and that's really in the wheelhouse of GXO. E-commerce is our biggest single activity. It represents almost 40% of our business solutions. We operate the largest e-commerce fulfillment centers in Europe.
Okay.
And the last trend, as you mentioned, is about industrial automation and robotics. Right. More and more of our solutions are involving automation and robotics. It's an expertise that really exists in GXO. We were a first mover in activity. It's really benefiting us now.
Well, look, this could be a very exciting company. It's going to be very few like it that are publicly traded. And if it's anything like what happened with XPO, it's going to be terrific. I want to thank Malcolm Wilson, the new CEO, by the way, of GXO Logistics. Great to see you, sir. Congratulations.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you.
If you want to know the way of the future, it is logistics. And this company is the independent way to play it. Mad Money's back after the break.
Coming up, can nature nurture your portfolio to blue skies and sunny stocks? Cramer looks outdoors for outsized profits. Next.
1 in 8. That's how many people have worked at a McDonald's. Who serve millions the best Big Mac and best birthday party they've ever had. Who haven't just seen kids graduate from a Happy Meal, but have gotten help graduating themselves. Because they know the skills learned here.
Bienvenidos. Welcome to English Under the Arches.
Can help you grow from here or keep growing here.
Hi,
1 in 8, start at McDonald's. And where you start stays with you.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Ever since it became clear that the pandemic would soon be over, there's been a widespread sense that last year's best performers, the COVID winners, were becoming untouchable. With a few exceptions, if it worked as a lockdown stock, Wall Street presumed that it would be a total dog as the reopening began. But it turns out the reality is much more complicated than that. A handful of the hottest, the real sizzling stocks, have transformed into reopening themes, especially the great outdoors. Last spring and early last summer, anything related to camping or boating or any other outdoor activity caught fire because it was the only safe way to take a vacation, remember? But then as we got closer to the end of the summer, this group stalled because people figured out that, well, it was all one-off. No way they'd get that same kind of boost once the pandemic was over, correct? But now we're headed for the summer of 2021, though. And the great outdoors is back. On Friday, we checked in with Brunswick Corp. I don't know if you saw the interview. We will call it up, but it was really rather amazing. The big boat maker just delivered fabulous quarter, and then CEO David Foulkes told an incredibly bullish story. But at the same time, Clorox told us that grilling, remember, that's Kingsford's, was one of the few categories where they continue to see durable growth, despite some very tough comparisons. And we're seeing lots of news reports about a massive boom in summer travel plans, with camping emerging as one of the biggest winners. What happened here? Two things. First, in terms of hardware, these companies sold so much merchandise last year that they came into 2021 with ridiculously low inventories. What does that mean? Well, the inventories were so low that they can raise prices and still sell everything they make. Second, and more importantly, so many people have been cooped up in their homes for over a year now. But with the great reopening upon us, they're much more willing to go out, and they're desperate to go outside. They've got vaccinated. Granted, they could have safely gone camping or boating last summer. It's indoors, but it's dangerous. There are millions of people who just hunkered down in their homes rather than take any chances. And now that they are vaccinated, they can finally get back in touch with nature, especially with the beautiful weather we're having. So how do you play? I've got 3 different approaches, each of which could work here. First way to play the great outdoors, you can do the obvious, stick with Brunswick. which we just spoke to on Friday, so we know the numbers are fresh. The number one boat maker just reported a blowout quarter, true blowout, last Thursday, but its stock barely budged in response till today. I've got some lift, $3 change. Story here is refreshingly simple. Even after expanding its production capacity, Brunswick has so much demand that they can't come close to making enough boats and engines. Folks told us that they could take years before they merely build their inventories back up to normal levels. Think 2023 or 2024, there's a big waiting list for boats. Till then, we got a boat shortage. And when there's a shortage, well, prices go higher. 2 years ago, Brunswick also bought a little company. It's called Freedom Boat Club, which is basically a nationwide co-op for boats. Rather than buying one yourself, you can join the club, pay your membership dues, and gain access to a whole fleet along with your fellow members. I think it's a great idea. I used it when I was in Florida. It's no wonder Brunswick keeps buying up Freedom Boat Club franchises like the ones in Chicago and New York City. But at the end of the day, this one's all about the math. While the stock made a new all-time high today, it simply doesn't reflect the incredible numbers we saw last week. Remember, Brunswick raised the midpoint of its full-year earnings forecast from 620 way up to 745, when the analysts were only looking for 644. On top of that, management said they could earn $8.25 to $8.75 in 2022. So what does that mean? This high-quality outdoor activity stock sells for less than 13 times next year's numbers. I find that ridiculously cheap. Plus, when you look at Brunswick's track record, they've beaten the earnings estimates by an average of 58% over the past four quarters, meaning there's a good chance the actual results will end up surprising to the upside again, which would make this stock look even cheaper in retrospect. In short, Brunswick's a screaming buy because, see, it's a secular grower now, not that cyclical thing that so many people lost money on in the old days. What if you prefer to stay on dry land? Okay, the second way to play the great outdoors here is RVs. 2 weeks ago, we got an update from Lippert, the RV, marine, and auto parts supplier, formerly known as LCI Industries, when they pre-announced a first-quarter revenue bonanza. So we know they're doing great, but Lippert reports in full results tomorrow. And given that the stock's rallied more than 10 bucks since the pre-announcement, there's always a chance it will sell off, even on a good quarter. And that's been the pattern for most manufacturers. Very picky earnings season. But Lippert sells again for just 15 times next year's earnings estimates, solid 2% yield. So if the stock sells off tomorrow, you might want to dig deeper into the quarter and use that weakness as a buying opportunity if you like what you see. But then there are the actual RV and motorhome makers. Thor, remember Thor? Bob Martin, we have them all the time. Winnebago, we've had them on. These stocks both swooned late last year when they were written off as lockdown era relics. But they're really both in the same position as Brunswick, aren't they? They moved so much merchandise last spring and summer that supplies are incredibly tight. That's allowing them to make a fortune in this environment. Thor and Winnebago delivered a pair of huge earnings beats back in March. Although the initial roaring in this response, both stocks have pulled back. Now, this is craziness. Thor is at 14 times earnings. Winnebago at 11 times earnings. Thor gets that higher multiple because it's best to breed, but they both work here. Remember, these people say they're no cheap stocks. I mean, you're looking at them. Then there's Camping World, the world's largest retailer of RVs and related products. This is another one, reports tomorrow morning. I expect another set of good numbers, but given the fact the stock's rallied 69% year to date, this could be another situation where a company posts some excellent numbers and yet its stock rolls over. I think this one's a terrific regional and national growth story, and it only sells at 9 times earnings. I mean, I don't understand this. If you can get it at a discount after the quarter, I think you pounce. Finally, if you really want to think outside the box, I've got a more oblique way to play the great outdoors, Airbnb. This is a fabulous way to play the coming travel boom, and that includes people renting homes in remote areas so they can enjoy nature. When CEO Brian Chesky appeared on CNBC's Tech Check a couple weeks ago, he noted that they expect to have a high-quality problem this year. They're likely to have more guests than they have people to host. Meanwhile, Airbnb has proven to be very profitable, more profitable than anyone imagined. This one reports on Thursday of next week. So, look, we're going to be watching it closely. More than the quarter, though, I'm waiting for the looming expiration of the lockup on insider sales. Something that could hammer the stock, maybe give you a terrific buying opportunity. Of course, there are other ways. Newell Brands, saw them today. Nice. Yeti, fantastic quarter. Vista Outdoors, not as good, but all sorts of camping equipment. Then you've got the golf stocks, Callaway, Acushnet. You got Pool Corp. Hey, I saw Leslie put up a good number. These have been winners. But the bottom line, as the pandemic winds down, I think the great outdoors theme has more legs than you realize. It could be a huge summer, even bigger than last summer, which means any of these stocks could have legs, especially because so many of the big institutional investors have moved away from them. John in California. John.
Mr. Kramer.
Yes, John.
What do you think about the prospects for Boeing, short-term, long-term?
Boeing was chosen last week in the CNBC draft, and I think it was a brilliant call. I think this $240, $50 stock is going to go to $350. I think it's going to happen because you're going to see a flood of orders from, of all things, new airliners. It's not in the stock. Buy it. David in Texas, David.
Jimmy, chill. Big booyah from Houston.
Well, man, it's good to have you on the show. What's happening?
There we go. I wanted to get your thoughts on Disney. Do you think the price is locked in, or has it got a little bit more room to run?
Here's the deal with Disney. Okay, I felt last week that maybe I had to take profits in it. But Zeb and Jeff, who work with me at ActionAlertsPlus.com in the club, both said, no, Jim, this could be a real one. You got to hold on to it. And so we did stay long it. And I think that it's going to have another spurt up after this, the theme parks open all over the world. Now, I think the Great Outdoors theme could be used to something. And now you know which ones have legs. And remember, it's really important you understand this. It's a rotational market. These have been left behind. So now the money comes back to much more Mad Money ahead. Lydol first captured our attention as a COVID play. But with the company in plenty of end markets, could it be worth considering as the economy continues to reopen? I'm going to sit down with the CEO of a company that's sending millions of masks to India. Then Warren Buffett and Charlie Munger are dismissive of the Robin Hood types. But they shouldn't be. Maybe you're one of them. I'll explain. And all your calls, rapid fire in tonight's edition of The Lightning Round. So stay with Cramer.
Tomorrow, kick off the trading day with Squawk on the Street.
I think trying is good. I think it's good. And the little guys, frankly, I think they're good. Do I think it's a ripoff to pay for order flow? Not crazy about it.
It all starts at 9 a.m. Eastern.
Last year, we found a little company called Lydol that went on to become a huge winner. This is a specialty materials company that makes thermal insulation, acoustic barriers, and filtration and separation materials like the ones used in the N95 mask. It first captured our attention as a COVID play. But after doing more homework, we realized that exposure to all sorts of booming end markets, like the automobile industry, especially EV, yes, electric vehicles. Stock's now given us a 25% gain since we first spoke to the CEO last December, trouncing the S&P 500 over the same period. While Lydol has pulled back a bit over the course of March and early April, the stock got a huge boost last week when they reported yet another excellent quarter. So could this thing have more room to run? Let's check in with Sarah Greenstein, the president and CEO of Lydol, to get a better read on the quarter and our company's prospects. Ms. Greenstein, welcome back to Mad Money.
Thank you. So good to be here. Appreciate you having me back.
Oh, great. Okay, Sarah, let's talk Moxie, because I think Moxie is a better example of what Lydol's about than the others that I'm going to get to. But it makes sense because it's what Lydol stands for in my eyes. I'm giving you the floor. Moxie.
Awesome, right? So, yes, 2020 was all about COVID. And I think you came to know us as a result of the specialty filtration media that goes into N95 respirators. But as I've been saying, Lydol is everywhere. And you saw our Q1 results, you really started to see that with the economic rebound, the demand for our products is growing. And we're not only growing here on Earth, we're also in Mars. So we talked about this last time, but it is Lydol's HEPA filtration that is on the Moxie module that is part of the Perseverance rover. And what the Moxie module is doing, Jim, it's surfacing, walking around the Mars surface, filtering all of the CO2 out of the Martian air and trying to turn it into oxygen so that for future manned landings, we wouldn't have to bring stored oxygen up. And it's working. As of last week, it was clarified that indeed that is working. And they've been able to capture enough oxygen for an astronaut to be up there for 10 minutes already. And it is Lydol's HEPA filtration media that is ensuring that that fine dust that's on the surface of Mars is kept out of the Moxie module under extreme conditions, Jim. It can be 195 degrees below Fahrenheit, all the way up to 70 degrees plus. And when NASA needed to figure out how they could do that, it was Lydol that they came to work through. So like I said, we're not only protecting people and the environment here on Earth, we're starting to do it in Mars as well.
Well, you should be very proud, Sarah. Let's talk about protecting people on Earth there. Now, you now have the ability to produce billions of masks. Is it the right time to produce billions of masks, given the fact that we're doing mass vaccination?
Great question. And I think I, along with you, and I'm sure all of your viewers, are so excited that the end of this global pandemic, I think, is in sight. I know we've got a long way to go in some regions of the world, but we're certainly in a far better position today in the U.S. than we were the last time you talked. And the answer, the short answer is yes. Look, did we as Lidl anticipate the demand for N95 respirators? Yes. Did we put the manufacturing capacity in place to help solve that problem? Yes. Do we have long-term contracts in place to see us through the end of 2022? Yes. But even more importantly is the specialty filtration solutions that are needed now more than ever. And as I said last time, I think the demand for this will dwarf that of what's needed for the N95 respirator to ensure that the likes of you and I can go back into open places and spaces safely. So MERV, HEPA, ALPA, all things I'm sure you've heard before, right, is what is required now inside our homes, inside our restaurants, inside our schools, inside our hospitals, to make sure that we can filter the air, all the bad stuff out, keep the airflow good, and keeping all of us healthy while we do so. And that is exactly where Lidl has always played for decades, continues to play. And with a new expanded Center of Excellence for Specialty Filtration, Jim, we're working on the next generation. So how can building owners, without any capital outlay, potentially just exchange the filtration media, the filter that's in there? That's a huge game changer. And I think, you know, what's most exciting is that the outcome of all of this is that all of us are going to be healthier whenever we're...
Yeah, I totally agree. No, yeah. In the little bit of time remaining, I promise electric vehicles, you're key in EV. So tell us what you're doing.
We're key in EV. And it's not just about what's coming. It's about what is today. Because there's a big transition, as you know, from ICE to hybrid to EVs. Mm-hmm. And when I think about Lidl and EVs, I think about isolate and protect, right? So we isolate any of the known hazards that might exist either around the vehicle, the battery, and or as a result of the vehicle in the battery. We protect from electromagnetic interference. We protect from a parasitic noise. And we do all of this by lightweighting. So again, cleaner, quieter, safer. That's what Lidl does. We're the critical components in so many applications that really help ensure that you and I are safe, the environment's clean, and we're all healthier for it.
Well, thank you so much. And you also delivered fantastically for shareholders. You got cash, extra cash to be able to buy some shares. You're doing terrific. Sarah Greenstein, President and CEO of Lidl, thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you.
All right, these are the kinds of stocks we try to bring to you. Younger viewers, think about this. Think about all the things you care about, EV, Mars landing. I mean, I know this is exciting stuff, but it's also making money. They have money's back at the break.
Coming up next.
Let's make money together. What do we got?
Kramer's bringing the thunder and answering your burning questions in today's edition of The Lightning Round.
It is time. It's time for the White Room. What is that about? That's about Rob Carson. And then the light round's over. Are you ready, Ski? The light round comes from it's Vincent in Kentucky. Vincent.
A big booyah to you, Jim, from the home of the Kentucky Derby.
Yes, congratulations, man. We're loving that. We are big horse fans here. What's going on?
Well, I want to first thank you for all of your entertainment and enlightenment.
Oh, thank you, man.
My question is about Penn National Gaming, which came to my attention on your show.
I happen to like Penn Nat very much, and that was first came to our attention because of the deal they did with Barstool and David Portnoy, and it is doing fantastically and deserves to trade higher. Portnoy's opened a lot of business for that company. Let's go to Alex in New York. Alex!
Hey, a big New York City booyah to you, Jim. How you doing?
A reopening New York booyah right back at you.
So I'm trying to figure out how long Alcoa Corp will run for with all the current tailwinds for the industrial stock.
Well, look, that quarter was an amazing quarter, and they're not getting enough credit for it. That was a brilliant quarter. This is not the same old Alcoa. I'm a buyer. Let's go to Eric in Texas. Eric!
Jimmy Chill, how are you, man?
The Chill Man is good. How about you?
Doing good, doing good. Hey, wanted to get your thoughts on IPOE, soon to be SoFi.
SoFi? You got to wait till it's SoFi, to be honest. I mean, I really feel like that what happens in these things, we had a real, you know, we've had a kind of a rocky moment. So now we got to just wait till we see the whites of their eyes and don't make a move before then. I need you to go to Rick in Illinois, please. Rick.
Jim, how are you today?
I am good. How about you?
I'm great, and I'd like to give a little shout-out to my brother David, the gang at the Inner Circle. They really support me in my trading.
Fantastic.
Jim, you can let... Oh?
Fantastic.
Jim, you've never mentioned this stock, and it's something that's like a long-term growth team in the cannabis industry. It's got a great CEO, Bill Poehler, who recently turned around Hostess and had an awesome quarter. Their IP was done by J.P. Morgan, and I think this is one to own for the long term. What do you think of Hydrofarm?
Of Hydro?
Hydrofarm.
Okay, I've been negligent because I looked at Grow Generation a lot, and I'm a huge believer in this particular segment. I've got to have them on before I render judgment. But boy, you're right in terms of the field of dreams. It's working. Let's go to Mike in New Jersey. Mike.
Booyah, Jim. It's Mike from Short Hills, New Jersey. How are you?
I'm loving it. South Jersey, what's going on?
So as I'm looking, as I'm anxiously awaiting Plug 10K filing, I found a new renewable energy source. Ticker symbol is AMPX. Had a great run, but it's been beat up lately. Where does it go?
But these work. These plant matter, these recyclable plant, they all work. I mean, that doesn't mean I don't have to do more work. And I'm talking to Ben Stoto tonight, and this is one we ought to look at. Seems very exciting. But that is the sweet spot of investment right now. Johnny in New York. Johnny!
Hey, Jimmy Cho. Booyah.
Oh, chill back at you. What's up?
You're doing great. Big fan of the show.
Thank you.
Just wanted to ask really quick with Palantir. You know, I bought it, you know, when initially IPO'd underneath $10.
So right. I got in. They did that direct listing.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I just wanted to ask, you know, I know they recently hired Bill Cashler today, and the stock's been floating around, you know, $24.
Well, I saw that very impressive guy, the U.S., the chief medical officer. But I do want more. I want more. It's opaque. Palantir's opaque. Remember, Palantir, GME, and AMC, they're the only ones that Wall Street Bets apparently is allowed to write about. Is that the issue? I'm not sure. It seems like they're limited to those three, and they like Palantir very much. But you notice the stock hasn't moved up, despite the fact that they like it. So maybe they ought to broaden their horizon. I'm going to have to give those guys a jingle because they really only write about three stocks, but they write about them very well. How about Diane in Maryland? Diane.
Hi, how are you?
I am good. How about you, Diane?
Great. I'm kind of new at this, and I've been wanting to buy some Sherwin-Williams stock, and it used to be so expensive.
And it's an excellent company, and it was a great quarter. Diane, it was a fabulous quarter. Now, I am a little more neutral because I like Lowe's. I think Lowe's is a better way because then you get a lot of other things. You don't have to worry about raw costs, but that is a good one. Now, let's go to Rick in New York. Rick.
Hey, Jim, awesome show, and thanks for taking my call.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you.
My pleasure. Really enjoy it. So I know you've talked a lot about NovaCure on several occasions, and I've certainly enjoyed the last 18 months because I invested in it with the performance of the stock. It's up about 170% plus. And, you know, their unique technology of attacking tumors via electric fields. And I can't help myself, especially with some of the latest in recent approvals, the upside to me is beyond tremendous.
And I totally agree with you. And I'll tell you something, Rick. Only you, me, a couple others. It still seems to be not recognized by the medical community. When it is, the stock doubles. And that, ladies and gentlemen, the conclusion of the Lightning Round.
The Lightning Round is sponsored by TD Ameritrade. Coming up, the Stock Market Circus is a better show under a big tent. Find out why Ringmaster Cramer says it may cost you to sneer at the new investor. Next. Take control of your financial future with the new MadMoney.CNBC.com. Cramer's exclusive CEO interviews, full episodes, analysis, even your own soundboard. Plus, special access to Mad Money 101 with rules and techniques to break down the market for all investors.
The red flag that makes me drop a stock immediately is...
It's everything you need right when you need it. The new MadMoney.CNBC.com.
You ever notice the tone of all these stories about how new investors are coming to the market? They almost always frame these people as lambs to the slaughter. In these articles, the presumption is that you've been getting into stocks lately. Well, you must be a doofus. Of course, the truth is the opposite. Stocks have been a great investment. The real idiocy is keeping your money in a savings account that pays you next to nothing. Most of these stories are really about how stocks have become a bigger part of the average investor's portfolio because they've run so much. Somehow they make that sound like a bad thing. Nobody has more harsh comments for younger investors than Warren Buffett and Charlie Munger of Berkshire Hathaway fame. Now, I do love their folksy attitude, and I don't think they truly want to drive people away from the markets. But they seem to frown upon the notion of regular people picking stocks, let alone options. At the annual meeting this weekend, they talked endlessly about the casino attitude of the younger cohort. If you cut through all the folksiness, Buffett and Munger seem to believe these millions of new investors are a bunch of fools. Somehow they both say it without an ounce of irony, even though most of these new players came in when stocks were much, much lower, something Berkshire Hathaway sure didn't do. Berkshire actually sold $12 billion worth of stock near the lows last year and found no elephants to buy. Huh. Quizzical, right? Hey, why not even a momentary doff of the cap to all the younger people who believed in the market when these two stock sages basically did nothing? Why not an ounce of humility? Instead, they just give us the endless drumbeat about how Robinhood has encouraged a casino-style environment. Like that's somehow a new development. Of course, always in a folksy passive-aggressive framework. I can't let that stand. I think it's good that Robinhood's gotten millions of people involved in the stock market, the greatest engine of wealth creation in history. Will some of these people be idiots who blow themselves up in Apple calls? Of course. Sure. Especially if they only want to chase the same handful of played-out meme stocks. That's really bad. But there are millions of new investors, and it's not like they're only buying GameStop. Lots of them have made fortunes in assets that guys like Buffett wouldn't touch. Think Bitcoin. I am so tired of hearing the richest people in the world tell regular investors they shouldn't try to beat the market. In my lifetime, I've seen so many people beat the market that it's just beyond me. You could argue that my sample's purely anecdotal. But I've been in the business a long time, started in 1979. We've been doing the show since 2005. I've seen an overwhelming number of people beat the averages. Many of them did it simply by investing in obvious winners like Fang. These people were buying Apple when guys like Munger and Buffett were not really interested. Whether these new investors tried to beat the market or simply bought index funds that match the market, I welcome them to the fray. Do I believe Robin Hood when they said, quote, there's an old guard that doesn't want average Americans to have a seat at the table so they resort to insults, end quote? Not exactly. I think it's more a mixture of elitism combined with a very condescending sense of noblesse oblige. And believe me, Robinhood's hands aren't all that clean. I remember when they didn't bother to tell us the importance of payment for order flow. Now it's how they really make a living. Not happy about that. I believe a lot of people should be rebated. A lot of that money should be rebated to clients as a show of the faith about the craziness of member of the GameStop AMC near shutdown at the end of January. Rebate that money to the people who are involved in your trading. I know Buffett and Munger both have impressive long-term track records, but their aversion to any kind of change has caused them to miss out on some huge opportunities. I remember back when these two hated technology. Oh, they bought IBM. They figured they knew that one. They got crushed in it. But then they bought Apple. Why? Because Buffett saw young kids wedded to their iPhones at Dairy Queen. They did the research. They liked it. They racked up a huge win. Good. That's exactly what millions of these new investors have done over the past year. They should be celebrated, not denigrated or patronized. So the next time you see someone like Buffett complaining about kids these days, why don't you take it with a grain of salt? I like to say there's always a bull market somewhere, and I promise to try to find it just for you right here on Mad Money. I'm Jim Cramer. I'll see you tomorrow. The news with Shepard Smith starts now.
You seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system up to a 313-mile range and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is their most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.